Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives, our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network, interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up to the minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps team.
Well, hello, Army family. Welcome. That always keeps me. I never wait long enough, do I? Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Corps team. This is show number 550, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host tonight, Paula Merrifield, and today is Monday, January 18th, 2016, Martin Luther King Day, and we're glad that you're here to hang out with us tonight.
That's right. There's always a party going on here at Army Wife Network, so if you're listening to our show live right now, join us in our Twitter chat. We'd love to see you over there and have you follow along. You can follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network using hashtag Army Wife to participate.
That's right. There's always a lot of fun over there, a lot of interaction. And tonight, your show is brought to you by the AWN Corps team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers that are passionate about empowering you in this military life, whether you're an Army wife, an Army mom, an Army girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is. You can get to know us through our bios on armywifenetwork.com or follow each one of us individually on Twitter and get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives as well. So we're just like you.
Yep. And tonight on Army Wife Talk Radio, we're excited to have Tim McWelch, author of the Ultimate Winter Survival Handbook, 157 Winter Tips and Tricks. He will be giving us some tips on coping with winter, especially like in emergency situations, power outages, you know, all that fun winter stuff. You can find Tim on Twitter at Tim McWelch, that's TimMacWelch, and find his website at advancedsurvivaltraining.com. So be sure to stay tuned for some great information coming your way later in the show. And later we'll also have our Money Minute. But first, Paula, before we get to that, we have some catching up to do. What's been going
we
on
do.
In your Army Wife life?
Oh, well, let's see. What has been going on? Well, you know what? I saw this article about a week or two maybe before Christmas, and it talked about one word can change your life in 2016. It was on Inc.com's website, and I saw that, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that is, like, awesome. So I read the article and everything, and it was like, what is one word for you for the new year? And I read the article and I thought about it and I thought, oh, that is really neat. So I kind of contemplated it for a little while, and not too long, because I overthink it, then you're thinking too much on it. And so I just kind of did a quick kind of mental checklist for my life personally. And I thought, okay, well, what's one word for me for the new year, for 2016? What is that one word? And almost immediately it came to me, simplicity. And I really, really, really have a very strong desire for me personally to simplify in all kinds of ways in my life. And, I mean, that could be as much as, you know, kind of going through your house and, you know, getting things in order and getting rid of stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it encompasses so much And so that is what my word for the new year is simplicity. And so I am working toward that. Yeah. So, yeah, I've actually got the article pulled up, and I'll actually put it in my Twitter feed. So anybody that follows me, they can actually go in and look at that, and we can get that kind of retweeted over there at Army Wife Network as well. But it's something very simple, but, you know, it could be anything. I was talking to a coworker, and, you know, I shared that article with her and that sort of stuff, and her word for 2016 is gratitude, you know, being gracious
for
the things that, you know what I mean, the things that she has. So it's just a really neat article, and it's a way to just kind of get focused on something for the new year. And that was that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stay busy. I'm trying to stay focused. I'm trying to reiterate in my own life what my word is. And so that's what I've been working on. And then last week was birthday week. And we don't talk about that too much, but it was my birthday, and it was actually my daughter's birthday as well. She was born on my birthday, and she hated it growing up, and she just turned 28 years old. And I said, look, you're the one that came 9 days early. I didn't force that. You did. So she ended up born on my birthday. So
we share a birthday. What a beautiful birthday gift.
It was. It really, really was. And here's the funny. Well, I say it's funny. It never used to really be funny. But the funny thing about it is that when she was little, certain people never remembered that it was also my birthday. It was always about her, which is fine. It was fine. But it was just kind of funny, you know. So it was like, oh, yeah, it's your birthday, too. So. But I ended up spending it with my grandkids pretty much all day, because my grandchildren's mother, who is my oldest daughter, had some surgery on that day. And so I ended up going to the hospital and then going over and helping to take care of all the grandkids. I say all the grandkids, all three of my grandkids. So, so it was a busy week. What about you?
You know, certainly don't look like you're old enough to be a grandma.
I am. I promise. I am. My oldest grandson is 6, and then I have a 17-month-old grandson, and then my granddaughter is getting ready to turn 2 months. So, yeah. Thank you, though.
Aww.
I am.
Sweet ages. How much fun is that? That's so cool.
They are.
Well, me.
But you've got some grandkids too, don't you?
Well, I've got 3 step grandchildren.
Yeah.
And so hopefully there'll be an announcement eventually. Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe.
But for now, we wait.
That's right. That's right.
Really, I think I have a boring life. I think I say that every week. That's terrible. Maybe
you
I need to get a life.
You do not.
It seems like it's boxes and work, you know, still unpacking.
Right.
We were watching The Incredibles the other night, and I hadn't watched that since my older kids were smaller, and now I'm watching it with the next generation. I'm watching that again. We were watching that, and the mom calls her husband at work and says, hey, I just unpacked the last box. And he goes, and so we're now officially moved in, and the husband goes, so what have we been doing the last 3 years? And I thought, 3 years, that would be a lifetime in the Army to be at one place, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my husband says, we'll just collect moving stickers on the boxes and just see how many places we move to before we finally unpack it. So.
There you go.
I tried. Okay, this is a Pinterest failure. I am the queen of Pinterest failures. So everybody's posting. A friend of mine posted on Facebook, and she's so crafty. And I just think, I wish I could do stuff like this. And she posted an ornament that she had made out of all the stickers that she had gathered off of moving boxes, you know, from the different duty stations. I thought, oh, my goodness, that is so cool. And we just moved. And so my daughter and I started going around pulling all the stickers off, and I get a little ornament to a plain one to paste them on. That is not easy. I thought, oh, my goodness, it's going to stick on there, and then I'll seal it up. Super simple, super cute. I'll even put a little thing on there, oh, Fort Hood 2015 or something like that. And they're all peeling off, and I finally just chalked it up to yet another Pinterest failure. I have had yet to have a success, but I've lost Pinterest. So I figure eventually I've got to have a success, right?
You will. You will. You have all the success that you want, because this chick, I am a complete Pinterest fail. I am not creative. I am not crafty. And you get to have, you just have all the fun, because that is just not my forte. I can't
well,
do it.
And I can't bake either. You know, like Joanna had said, it was a comment on one of the, that someone had made on social media about trying to meet new neighbors. And so Joanna, our social media coordinator, said, well, I usually bake them a cake. Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, even my cake just, it looked so awkward. I just was like, yeah, we'll just eat it.
There you go.
I wouldn't gift that to my worst enemy. So that's just a cake out of the box. So I can't bake either, but hopefully I make up for it maybe in some organization and just maybe by being nice. So we walked down the street and just started meeting people and saying hi. And the dogs are great for meeting people because they're kind of cute.
Oh.
So I looked at my daughter and I said, okay, let's put the leashes on them, and this is how we'll meet some people. So we walk down the street, and sure enough, everybody wants to pet the cute dogs.
Yes.
We're chopping over, but I'm kidding. No, we met some really neat people that way. So that was fun. So I use my dogs shamelessly.
Oh, that's awesome.
But
that's awesome. Well, you're getting acclimated and getting settled.
Yeah, and it did spark a blog post that I'm finishing up on making new friends at a new duty station. So it's kind of my own experience. So this is my second duty station. So I'm still on a learning curve. So I'm just kind of taking what I've – the tips that other more seasoned spouses have given me and thought, well, if I need to know them, surely someone else does. So I thought I would share them in a blog post.
That's a great idea. I mean, everybody's been a newbie at some point. So,
right.
I mean,
so, and,
anything
you know,
that you can share.
Right. PTA, just taking your kids to, you know, signing them up. There's all sports, like down here, there's all sorts of sports and things that you can, activities you can get kids involved in. So that's kind of been what I have been doing. So
that's awesome.
And
good job.
Fun. But it is
good.
Time for us to take a quick commercial break and find out what's been going on in the Army Wife Network world. So we'll be right back.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Well, a hot topic in the military community tonight is, although the Air Force women are still airmen despite gender-neutral moves, and the Air Force is not currently considering dropping gender-specific references to man from its titles, all that could change. Last week, Navy Secretary Ray Mabus ordered the service to review all its job titles and consider removing references to man from titles such as yeoman, fireman, and seaman. The Navy's review of the job title language is part of its preparation to open up all jobs to women, sailors, and Marine ground combat elements, and including the Navy SEALs. We will be adding a link to this We will be adding the link to this article from the Army Times in our Twitter chat tonight at hashtag ArmyWife to read more about this story.
That's right. And they can also put in their thoughts. You know, usually it'll spark some conversation sometimes in our Twitter feed, too. So give us what you think about all that. So what's hot over there on AWN this week? Well, over on Army Wife Network, for if you go to our Army Life blog postings under Expert, it's a new year, and what better way to start than with trading gripes for gratitude. If it seems as if most of your family's conversation is about what goes wrong, consider a gratitude diary. That's what one mother of two did to change her outlook, and she chronicled her attempts in a recent book, The Gratitude Diaries, How a Year Looking on the Bright Side Can Transform Your Life. Find this under the Army Life blog, under Expert. You can also find other inspiring and empowering blogs over there at ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
Well, I love that, trading gripes for gratitude. And hot in our social media, hey, AWN friends, it's a new year, and we are doing some tidying up over here at AWN. We have a fresh Google Plus account, and would love for you to add us to your circle. Connect with us on Google. Be sure to check out the link being posted in our Twitter chat and add AWN to your Google circle. And real fast, before we move on to our PSA, I was reflecting on your word, you know, that you, for the year that you were talking about, simplicity, and your friend with gratitude. I thought it would be fun if in our Twitter chat we all added in our word, and anyone that wants to jump in there and tell us your word, or what, you know, what you would like your word to be, or just mine is resolved, and it seems like, and I thought that would be fun to share that.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. We could actually even post that over on our Facebook page at some point, too, if we want to do that, get some interaction going there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Twitter definitely. If you are listening to us live and want to join us over there in our Twitter chat, make sure that you use the hashtag ArmyWife as well. And that's just one wife. We're not a group of wives. Well, I mean, we are a group of wives, but I'm saying hashtag ArmyWife. So, yeah, come over here to Twitter and join in on our conversation. But last but not least, it is our public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show. Ask for them 10 days in advance. And if you have one, please send it to info@armywifenetwork.com, and we will get it in the rotation. Tonight is Army Emergency Relief Scholarships. Army Emergency Relief maintains two scholarship programs, the Spouse Education Assistance Program and the M.G. James Ursano Scholarship Program for Dependent Children. Both scholarships provide financial assistance for students who are pursuing their first undergraduate degree. Scholarship award amounts are not guaranteed and vary each year based on the total number of applicants in each program and budget amount allotted to the scholarship programs. For the 2015-2016, the minimum award was $500 and the maximum award was $3,300. Scholarship applications for the 2016-2017 academic year will be accepted until 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the 1st of May of 2016. You can go over to armyemergencyrelief.org and find the link there for more information, but we will also have that posted in our Twitter feed as well. So check that out. Everybody can use some assistance there when it comes to going back to school. So there are opportunities for both spouses and children. So that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN's new 6th Gen. She'll be bringing you the need-to-know stories. So we'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group. That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship. And what breed would you say Satchmo is? I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier hound chihuahua looking kind of mix. Tremendous dog. I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous. You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles. Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Jen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. Independent launches a free online program exclusively for military spouses. Beginning in January 2016, nonprofit organization Independent launched a new online program for military spouses called MilSpouse Guide to Self-Care. The free online program will occur monthly from January through September 2016, with each month featuring experts who will present health and wellness content as it relates to military life. Program participants will receive a 30 to 60 minute pre-recorded interview, book club recommendations, access to private support groups, one group coaching session, and an in-person or virtual meetup. The program is designed specifically to help military spouses practice self-care and encourage them to invest time in themselves each month. The idea for MilSpouse Guide to Self-Care was inspired by the first ever online 2015 Military Spouse Wellness Summit, co-hosted by Independent and Army Wife Network. The event attracted more than 2,000 participants all the way from Kansas to Japan. Upcoming online workshops for the MilSpouse Guide to Self-Care include The Power of Choice in January, The Art of Advocating for Yourself in February, and Time Management in March. All participants will be eligible to win monthly giveaways donated by program sponsors. Military spouses can register for the events at www.in-dependent.org/self-care-registration. Some military bases will no longer accept driver's licenses from 5 states for entry onto their posts. Due to the Real ID Act, which took effect January 10th, federal facilities no longer accept driver's licenses from 5 states as valid identification for individuals seeking entry without an escort. But some military bases are offering workarounds, granting grace periods, or continuing with current access rules that require more than an ID. Those with licenses from Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, New Mexico, and Washington State can no longer use those IDs to enter an installation, according to regulations included in the Real ID Act, which requires states to meet security and data collection guidelines for the identification cards they issue. Pentagon officials estimate about 20 installations force-wide are affected. Those without compliant IDs will continue to be vetted through the National Crime Information Center prior to being issued a locally produced ID or pass, Sydney Allen, spokesman for the Army Installation Management Command. Allen added that supplemental identification would be required to complete the process. Those who don't provide alternate ID must be escorted at all times. Child Care Aware of America has regained management control of an Army child care program. The government will turn over the management of a program that helps Army families pay for private child care back to a private contractor after a federal agency bungled the job for a year, officials said last Wednesday. Child Care Aware of America, which ran the Army Fee Assistance Program from 2004 to 2014 before the Army canceled the contract to save money and gave responsibility for it to the General Services Administration, will start accepting applications on February 22nd. The program helps eligible service members pay for child care in the private sector when there is no care available on base. Nearly 13,000 families participate in the Army's program. In early 2014, the Army was promised it could save about $4 million by transferring management of the program to GSA. The problems started soon afterward and were disclosed by GSA's Inspector General in September 2015. Thousands of unprocessed applications, unanswered phone calls from families, deleted voicemails from worried families, and unpaid invoices. GSA took up to 7 months to process some subsidy applications, an audit report found. Army families reported that during the long waits, they considered having a spouse quit a job or school so that one parent could stay home with their children. The federal mismanagement was so serious that the Army decided to turn administration of the program back to the contractor. The Army apologized for poorly managing the initial transition and failing to ensure that GSA could handle the increased workload and administration of the program. We deeply regret the hardships and inconvenience we caused our families and are doing everything possible to regain their confidence and ensure mission readiness for our families, Stephanie Hunt, Director of Family and Morale, Welfare, and Recreation at the Army Installation Management Command, told lawmakers. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Jen, signing out.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry, AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Paula Merrifield. Tonight, we have with us Tim McWelch. He's a homesteader, wilderness and urban survival instructor, and a New York Times best-selling author. His latest book is The Ultimate Winter Survival Handbook, 157 Winter Tips and Tricks.
Tim also blogs at OutdoorLife.com, and we're pleased to have him on the show once again to share survival basics with us. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back.
Well, it's great to have you back. We would love for you to start off by telling us a little about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Sure, sure. So I'm calling you from Virginia tonight, and not too far away from the Quantico Marine Corps base, for those who know where that is. And I have been doing survival skills as a passion for just about as long as I can remember. I grew up on a nice little farm in Northern Virginia, and one of the big activities on the farm was to just run around outside and play. You know, not a lot of kids get to do that these days, just kind of run around and right. be immersed in nature. And so I got my start really with just firsthand experience, you know, being outdoors and figuring out what was what. And then later on in my teenage years, I got very interested in backpacking and hiking and traveling around. And I realized, hey, I need to know what to do if I get stuck out here by myself. And that led me down the path to learning survival skills. I started learning as much as I could from any source that I could, mostly books, but also a lot of practical application, just trying things out and seeing what worked and what didn't. And after quite a few years of going through the School of Hard Knocks, I started working with kids and teaching them the things that I had learned. So I worked with scout troops and youth groups and churches and schools and, you know, pretty much anybody who would have an interest in the outdoor skills that I was offering. And after a few years of that, I realized that I really enjoyed not only survival but teaching it as well. And at that point, I started a business running survival classes for adults and families and also continuing to work with kids.
Well, Tim, you are the founder and director of Advanced Survival Training. Like you said, a school that offers wilderness survival and disaster preparedness courses there in Virginia. So is the way that you grew up, is that what first got you interested in learning about survival skills? I mean, it's one thing to be out there and, you know, kind of playing outside and learning things, but, I mean, you've really taken it to a higher level with your survival skills.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of taken it to the nth degree just because it's something that I have never gotten tired of. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times in life we have something we're very interested in for a while, and then we move on to something else. But for whatever reason, this is just hardwired into the back of my head, and these topics never get old. I never get tired of you know, sharing this stuff with folks, and I never get tired of practicing these skills on my own. You know, I think the proof of the pudding here is that I'm working on this stuff and practicing these things and enjoying it when no one's looking. You know, I think that's kind of that's the test of whether you love something or not is, you know, is this just a day job or are you really doing it? And I think I certainly meet that criteria.
Right. Now, you said that you have taught a variety of people. Now, are there any type of people in particular that typically seek you out for survival training?
I've really been blessed doing the job that I do because I get to meet folks from every conceivable walk of life. And you know, you guys being on the Army Wife Network, I have plenty of military spouses and military families that come to see me, and they want to learn outdoor skills because they are fun, because they might come in handy someday, because they're part of our collective heritage, and for a host of other reasons. And my core clientele really have nothing in common other than the fact that they love the outdoors, they love being self-reliant to some degree, and they are almost always non-smokers. And other than that,
oh, really?
it's every kind of person you could ever imagine. And so, yeah, it's you know, at times it's very challenging, you know, as a business owner to try to reach out to folks who would be interested in what I'm doing because, I mean, I'd have to reach out to everybody, you know, every possible demographic. And, you know, so that's always made it kind of tricky for me, because I have folks from such, you know, diverse backgrounds coming to see me. But at the end of the day, you know, we all get along great in the camp out in the woods. And, you know, despite some differences that we might have, you know, we're all interested in the same thing. We're all interested in being able to take care of ourselves and our families, and we're all interested in reconnecting, you know, with our heritage of being independent and self-reliant people.
Okay. Now, you said that you have a wide variety of people, including children that you've taught. Do you teach them mm-hmm. all in the same setting, or do you teach separate classes?
It really varies. You know, sometimes I'll have kids in my normal adult-oriented classes, and, you know, these would be, you know, teenagers or you know, maybe as young as 10, 11, 12, you know, especially if the kids are homeschooled and they're used to, you know, working on a little bit more of an adult college-type level. But quite often I'll have private programs for families with younger kids, and in that case, it's more about the little guys. You know, it's more about the little people. Because, you know, any parent of a six-year-old knows that a six-year-old is not going to sit still that long. So we've really got to tailor the day to the shortest attention span.
And I could see where this would be a great family training to take, you know, for the whole family.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the family to, you know, break out of the normal mold of going to an amusement park or going to the, you know, regular park or, you know, going to the video game arcade or the shopping mall. This is just something so radically different than any of those activities, but it's something everybody can connect with and everybody can enjoy on some level.
Right.
Hey, and Tim, I've got a quick question for you before we actually, I'm kind of off script here for a second, but my question real quick for you is, because I've been on your website and I've looked at, you know, like your course schedule and that sort of stuff. Let's just say I am absolutely a complete newbie at anything like this, okay? What would you recommend for somebody that is, I mean, as green can be, to really get into this? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm very interested in it. But I don't know where to start.
That's a wonderful question. That's one of the most important questions I think anybody could ask. You know, when you first start thinking about learning some outdoor skills, some survival skills, some self-reliance skills, it's so overwhelming. You know, your head is spinning. I don't know where to turn. You know, what do I need?
Well, that's what I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do with this.
What do I need? And so, you know, a dear friend of mine challenged me last year, and he asked me, what do you want for your students? And I really had to pause and take a couple days and think about it. And after some deep consideration, I realized that I wanted people to be confident and comfortable outside. I wanted them to know a few things that they could eat safely, so different things, wild edible plants that they could forage, and I wanted them to know some very basic survival skills, how to build a shelter, how to make a fire with just, you know, normal things, matches and lighters. You know, I'm not asking anybody to rub two sticks together, although that's fun, and I do teach that. But it's not always practical. So I want people to be able to quickly, easily, and practically make a fire. And I want them to find safe water. And so being comfortable outdoors, knowing shelter, water, fire, and food, that's what I really want for everybody. I think every person would benefit from knowing those things. You know, that's kind of our base setting. I mean, that's how we have always been as human beings. You know, we needed, you know, some level of comfort, safety, security, and we needed shelter, water, fire, and food. And so to have that in your back pocket, to understand the skills that would provide those things for you, this is what I want for my students, regardless of gender, age, any other factors. you know, so to answer your question more directly, I do some crash courses. I do some survival crash courses.
I was going to ask if this, like, primitive survival crash course would be something that would be a great first starter for me.
It's a wonderful starter for anybody, and you don't have to have ever been camping in your whole life. You know, there's no judgment. There's no pre-qualifications. I want everybody to come out and have fun in the woods just like I do, and we're going to build shelters, find safe drinking water, and learn several different ways to make fire, learn how to signal for help, and learn how to make some very basic and helpful tools from just stuff that we would find in nature. So the primitive survival crash course is, you know, it's kind of the shirt on your back and a pocket knife type of survival. You know, it's sort of like the classic, you know, Rambo type of survival, just using the stuff available. And then if that's a little too much for somebody, I've got a modern survival crash course. And the modern survival crash course still covers shelter, water, fire, signaling, but we use modern tools and technology, and it's just a million times easier. You know, you can use a lighter instead of sticks.
I'm going to look at both of them. I'm just going to look at both of them. But
I appreciate that.
And I'm sorry to kind of get off subject, but I honestly was looking at it and I was like, oh, and I just want to make sure that. I know we're new into 2016, and I'm not real sure if your most up-to-date course schedule is on the website. I don't know if it is or not, because I didn't see 2016. I see 2015. So might want to double that. Primitive survival or even the modern survival is a good starting point for somebody.
I'm a low-tech guy. I'm a very, very low-tech character.
I'm good with that.
One of my crazy little glitches on the website right now is that I cannot for the life of me get that to change from 2015 to 2016 on that little button on the side of the page.
What is listed under course schedule is the current schedule?
It is, yeah. That's the 2016 schedule. So when folks go to advancedsurvivaltraining.com, they can click on that schedule page and see all the 2016 dates.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry to kind of get us off schedule there, but I needed to know.
I'm glad. Thank you.
Well, we have this year so far seen some extreme weather because of the El Nino in effect. In the Ultimate Winter Survival Handbook, you share tips and tricks for dealing with the winter weather. Okay. And as we said, even if you're not an outdoorsy person, you still have to, you're still affected by winter. So what essential household items should people stock up on for the winter?
Wonderful question. And very on point with the season. So there are many things.
Yeah, you guys are getting ready to get hit this weekend, I heard.
Yeah. There's something brewing. There's something wicked this way comes, and it's probably going to be white and maybe cold. So this is the perfect question for this time of year, regardless of where you live. What do you need? There are many things listed in the Ultimate Winter Survival Handbook that a person could stock up on before the bad weather hits. But I'll give you my top five. So my top five items in no specific order are no-cook foods. So what if the power goes out? You know, what if we have one of those heavy, wet snows, knocks down trees and power lines, our power's out, we can't cook in our home. So we need no-cooked foods. And these could be simple foods. It can be peanut butter and crackers. It can be sandwich stuff, you know, peanut butter and jelly. It can be things that you know, maybe we would really like, or, like, you know, some chocolate bars and a couple good bottles of wine. It could be, you know, something just really basic, you know, just the crackers and tuna fish, you know, whatever you can afford and whatever you think the family would eat. So no cooked foods are critical if the utilities are out. And this keeps everybody fed, keeps everybody warm due to the metabolic heat produced by eating food. Also, flashlights with spare batteries. That's another critical thing. Candles are nice for emergency lighting. They do provide light and a little bit of heat, but they're also a fire hazard. What if the roads are so nasty that a fire truck couldn't get to your home. And, you know, what if a kid or a pet knocked over the whole big stack of candles that you had burning? You don't need to add another crisis to your winter crisis. So rather than having candles and open flames for lighting, just go with flashlights and have extra batteries for them. And in case the power goes out and your heat source is gone, have a sleeping bag for each member of your family and make sure it's a winter quality sleeping bag. You know, the temperature rating on a sleeping bag, a lot of folks, you know, will see, oh, that's a 30-degree bag. That's a survival rating. That's not a comfort rating. So you want to add about 20 degrees. Sorry, my cat just knocked the phone over. You want to add about 20 degrees to that rating to really recognize a comfortable temperature. So, for example, a 30-degree bag, you won't die at 30, but you'll be, you know, you'll really only be toasty around 40 or 50 Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Jugs of drinking water, that's our fourth item. Jugs of drinking water. So it's possible that the water could go out. If the power goes out in your home and the heat goes out, your pipes may freeze inside the walls, and then our drinking water source is gone. So having a couple jugs of drinking water available and in the room where you're hanging out, you know, even just body heat can keep the chill off of the room and keep the water, you know, from turning to ice. And then finally, our fifth item I'm going to share, the rest you'll have to read the book, but the fifth item I'll share is a battery-powered radio. So, yes, you could go sit in your car and turn it on and listen to the radio to get weather updates, but who's going to want to do that? Just have a little battery-powered radio in the house, and if your kids already have one that they play with, wonderful. You know, just kind of make it disappear one day and put it in your emergency kit. And make sure you have adequate batteries for that as well. So those are my top five picks for your household items that you want to stock up on before the storm.
Those are definitely good to know. And, you know, I think in this day and age of, you know, we have technology and backup generators and such, and we kind of take for granted that we wouldn't need these tips. But it wasn't that long ago, I remember the power went out. We didn't have any kind of backup heat, really. We had a fireplace, but that, you know, that only goes so far. You know, you can't, it's difficult to cook with it and such, and we actually didn't have heat for about a week. So it still happens, and we need to be prepared even for things like that. And then, you know, or if we're stuck out in our cars and we get stuck in a winter storm, you know. But in the case of a power going out, what are some tips for cooking without utilities? You had mentioned, like, no cooked foods, but do you have tips for cooking without utilities?
You bet. Yeah, there are all kinds of ways to cook off the grid, if we can coin that term there. So one thing that a lot of folks can do is to bundle up and go outside and use your propane grill to cook foods. So your normal propane hamburger grill doesn't require any electricity. It's all self-contained. You could take it anywhere. And so if you can bundle up in your nice warm coat and go out there and cook some food on the grill, then your family can have hot food without the dangers of bringing the grill into the home or the garage. Don't ever bring a propane grill inside the home for heat or for cooking. You're at risk for not only a fire, but you're at risk to produce potentially deadly carbon monoxide. You know, that grill is going to use a lot of oxygen as that fire burns, and once you've used up a certain amount of oxygen, then the fire starts producing carbon monoxide instead of carbon dioxide, and that's what gets people killed. So you can use your grill outside. Just don't ever bring it into a garage or worse yet, inside the house. So that will work. And you know, any Army spouse is going to know all about MRE heaters. So the lovely MRE, or meals rejected by everyone, or meals refusing to exit, or however you want to recalculate that acronym there, the MREs of today are usually tasty, wonderful, wonderful meals. And many of them are going to have a water-activated heater. So this MRE heater, maybe this is something that a person doesn't use out in the field, but, you know, they have one left over or they have several left over. And, you know, it's frowned upon, I think, to bring those home. But you know what? Bring them home instead of throwing them in the trash. And you can use MRE heaters to heat up pouches of food, even canned food. So you could take your can of SpaghettiOs,
oh, wow,
shove it in an MRE heater, and let that rascal sit there and bubble away. And, you know, after about 15 minutes or so, you've got a nice piping hot can of food that you can just crack open and eat right out of the can. You don't even have to worry about dirtying up the dishes. So that's a nice little fun tip that I like to share. I use MRE heaters all the time to heat up all different kinds of food, not just MREs.
Wow. I had never heard of an MRE heater. I didn't know we had that.
Yeah, they're neat. It's just a little pouch inside the meals ready to eat, and you pour a tiny amount of water into the pouch. It usually has a little line on the pouch, so you fill it up to that level, and then a chemical reaction occurs, producing a whole lot of heat, and that'll stay hot for 10 or 15 minutes, very hot. Too hot.
Yeah,
to
you got to be careful.
Hot to put it in your clothes.
Yep.
Oh, how cool. Well, Tim, it's time for us to take a quick break. Don't forget,
okay,
the AWN Core Team has some fun discussion taking place in our Twitter chat at twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork using hashtag ArmyWife, that's one, not plural, to participate. When we come back, let's talk more winter tips and tricks. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
The Department of Defense reports that one in four military spouses want or need work, but being an Army wife can make going back to school a big challenge. This is what makes CareerSteps online programs such a great fit for military spouses. The flexible online courses can have you career ready in as little as 3 months. If you qualify for MyCAA funding, you can even go back to school for free. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Have you thought about how your child will deal with their money as an adult?
This is a Defending Your Cash Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com.
The way we deal with our finances often correlates with the lessons we learn from our parents. Here are three easy ways to help your child establish a healthy relationship with money. Number one, give your child an allowance. An allowance is a helpful tool that can teach your child how to budget and save. Number two, teach teenagers about checking accounts and credit cards. A good way to help a teenager build a credit history is to get them a secured credit card. A secured credit card is one which requires a cash collateral deposit that becomes the credit line. Number three, teach your child about investing. There are many helpful and fun online investing games. And remember, it's never too early to start educating your child about finances, because once they reach adolescence, they are less likely to heed your advice.
This Defending Your Cash Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Well, welcome back to the show. We're talking with homesteader, wilderness, and urban survival instructor and New York Times bestselling author, Tim McWelch. Tim, welcome back, and thank you for staying with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be back on the show.
Well, before we went to break, we were talking about winter survival training and some tried and true tips and tricks for coping with the harsh winter weather. What are your top winter driving tips?
Driving. The tip number one is stay home. Don't go out if you don't have to. That is my ultimate tip for you. But you know what? That's not always an option. So some things that you'll always want to think about when the pavement might be frozen, or especially if there's any kind of snow, ice, slush, sleet on the road, one of the biggest things is to watch your speed. You know, even if we have a four-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive vehicle, you know, even if we're driving a tank around, ice is the great equalizer. You know, it's gonna put you in the ditch. I don't care what you're driving. So you want to watch your speed. You want to go easy on your acceleration and deceleration. So don't stomp on the gas. Don't stomp on the brake. Don't jerk the steering wheel. Just take it easy on any movement of the vehicle, any change, fast or slow or turning. If you're going up a hill, try not to stop. You know, figure out how you can pace yourself with the traffic. You don't want to stop on a hill because you may not be able to get going again, and you may end up sliding back down. So it's momentum that keeps you going up a hill. And if you do have to hit the brakes, you want to know what kind of brakes you have. If you have older brakes on an older vehicle, you may have to pump them. So you take your foot on and off of the brake pedal. Most modern vehicles have anti-lock brakes, so we don't have to do that anymore. But if you're driving a classic car or just an older car, you need to know what kind of brakes you have and whether or not you need to pump them to brake effectively, because you don't want to lock your brakes up and go sliding. But, yeah, if in doubt, just stay home when you're driving in the winter weather.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to back up real quick, Tim, because we don't have a whole lot of time left, but we want to get a couple of these questions in that are pretty important, especially right now with the weather and that sort of thing. Okay, so no matter where you live in the country, whether you've got snow, whether you don't have snow, what are some things that everyone should keep in their car's emergency kit? Because we all should have one.
You're absolutely right. Everybody should have an emergency kit in the car, and it needs to have a cell phone charger so that we can call for help if we get stuck somewhere. It needs to have water for your passengers and your driver, so it can be safe, you know, safe drinking water in bottles, and if the bottles swell and freeze, it's okay. They're not going to bust. Just put them in your coat and thaw them out and drink them. Flashlights, road flares, jumper cables, a first aid kit. You know, sometimes the car needs fixing, sometimes the people need fixing. So have a first aid kit in there. You also want to have blankets and or sleeping bags for each passenger seat in the vehicle, plus one for the driver. So, if you've got a family of five, crammed into a car, and you've got one blanket in the trunk, it's not going to go very far. You need to have some item of warmth for each person that may be riding in the vehicle. So whatever your maximum passenger number is, plus one for the driver. You know, that's how many blankets or sleeping bags you need. And throw some food in the car, that no-cook food that we talked about, peanut butter and crackers, candy bars, granola bars, anything like that. This is something that can keep you going and keep you warm if you do get stuck somewhere.
Now, what are your top tips for keeping your home safe and warm this winter?
You know, this is a wide subject, and I sure wish we had more time to dig into it. But some of the quickest things I can share would be for your family to get some first aid supplies and some first aid training. Quite often, the survival scenarios we face in our life aren't about being lost in the woods. They aren't about fighting off a bear. They're about dealing with medical emergencies. Bad cuts, medical events. How do you tell if somebody's choking? How do you tell if somebody's having a heart attack? You know, these are the types of things that are most commonly life-threatening to us. And so by having some first aid supplies and some medical training, that is my absolute top tip for staying safe this winter and for the rest of the year as well.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Now, you blog for Outdoor Life at outdoorlife.com. Where can people go to read more of your tips and kind of to wrap things up here? Where can our listeners go in general to find out more about survival training and what you're up to, your schedule and such?
Yeah, if folks want to go to advancedsurvivaltraining.com, they can find out more about my writing, the books that I've written, the blogs that I write for, the magazines that I write for. They can also see my schedule of classes. And I invite everybody to follow me on Twitter. I will be. I've made a resolution this year to put out more survival tips in my Twitter feed there. So if folks go to @TimMacWelch, TimMacWelch, that's my Twitter handle, and I would love a follow.
I've been following you, so don't be surprised if I shoot you questions.
Please do. I welcome them all. I love it.
Yeah. So,
well, Tim, thank you
for
being with us tonight. It's been fun having you on, and I know I've learned a lot. I've kind of been writing down all your checklists so I can make sure I have all my winter survival kit and stuff in stock, and I know I've learned a lot. So I thank you for being here with us again tonight.
It's been wonderful. It's been my privilege, and just as I exit, I want to remind everybody that I love the military families that I have met, so much so that I do a 15% off discount for military folks, whether they are active duty, veterans, retired, and their immediate family. So if you are a service member, or if you are the family member of a service member, you get 15% off all class tuition all the time. I've been doing that for years. But I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about that. I believe that if one member of the family serves, the whole family serves. Mm. And that's why I extend the discount to everybody in the immediate family.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for that. And definitely, we thank you for recognizing us. And thank you for getting this information out there. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. I wouldn't be able to get this out there without folks like you paying attention to what our world, what our country really needs. You know, we need to be able to take care of ourselves, and it all starts at home.
Well, thank you, and have a good evening.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tim.
And a special thanks to our listeners for joining us tonight. Please join us next week, January 25th, 2016, for our show featuring Byron Chin of Success Vets to discuss From Barracks to Boardroom. It's going to be an informative show, so you don't want to miss it.
But in the meantime, you can join us over there on ArmyWifeNetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and don't forget Instagram.
We are Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.